This is Pure Decking, show number 392 for Thursday, May something, May 14th, whatever year it currently is. The show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and the fact that we just cannot get away from plague news. So I think I'm going to need more booze. I'm Morps. Tonight we have Mad Men. What is up, Mad Men?
I am drinking bourbon and mourning the loss of the leader of Starfleet. Died before we had our first warship in space.
I still say
before his time.
I still say if they had called it Starfleet instead of Space Force, everyone would be on board. I might get sued by Universal, but or CBS. I forget who owns Star Trek these days.
Paramount and Universal.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the movies or the TV show?
Whoever would sue them for using the name, you know, who would use the name Starfleet. In a military, how would that work? Actually, could you sue the government if they decided to take a name from a copyrighted work and make a military branch named after that?
Hey,
oh, call them Space Marines.
Yeah,
well, in the 40K Games Workshop would sue them.
Yeah, they'd lose though. Marines have been. Named by the British for how long? The Americans for how long?
Exactly.
No, but it's Games Workshop. One. They'd try anyways. They might lose. They're just going to waste a lot of time and money.
Yeah, they'd lose and possibly anger the first of... God, what were the genetically engineered space marines called?
No idea, man.
Name them Horus, because that's my favorite one anyway. The first of the Horuses would tear their faces off.
Okay, time to finish the intro. And RU is here.
Yeah, there was only a partial Clinton fingerprint found at the crime scene. That's all we'll say about that. Sick of this fucking G5 Corona crap. I burnt down my local fucking Wi-Fi. It's not helping.
You just did it.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
So
I saw a video where the dude posted just proof as, man. It was printed on the inside of the circuitry.
Yep, right there on the circuit board says, we'll give you the virus.
Yep. Hey, man, faster internet. I'll take a sniffle.
Eh, we'll get used to it.
Will we stop blaming the beer company?
Oh, I'm sure we'll come up with something else to blame them for.
Blame them for making crappy beer.
That's the usual bullshit, right?
Stop talking about Wii Flu and back on to talking about Zoom.
Yeah, that's actually pretty much it. So,
yeah, like, dude, that's all we've fucking been talking about. Oh, someone showed their cock on Zoom.
Actually, this one's
the Wii Flu.
This one's a little bit better than just somebody wagging their dick for the camera. I mean,
right, what do you got?
You know, there's Chatterbait and then there's Zoom, and so far nobody can really tell the difference. But this one's from France 24. The cost of a university education in the United States has long been eye-watering, with a year costing tens of thousands of dollars. But as the pick a name. Bamboo burden crisis settles in. Students, many of whom have taken out huge loans to finance their degrees, are wondering how to justify spending $70,000 a year on Zoom classes.
Yeah.
They're not wrong, you know?
But not yeah.
They're
not
really
wrong.
Not. Because you know damn well all those universities that said, oh, we're shut down due to, you know, due to the boomer and tumor. They didn't refund anybody. They didn't go. They didn't go prorate the semester. They're just like, nope, we're all remote now. So,
and it's still $70,000.
Yeah,
they didn't refund classes, but they did refund housing and meal plan.
Well, those are harder to justify not if you can't let people use them.
Yeah,
I mean, but
you're still going to be good with this class where you have to dissect a human body. We're going to do it online virtually.
Well, if you get a slap on the VR headset.
Hey, Steam has some fantastic games for surgery, man.
I've done some conferences over the VR headset, you know, for my job, and it hasn't been that bad. But at the same time, I didn't pay anything for those. You just get to, you know, sign up and show up. You know, they're talking about, you know, they're talking about doing some of the higher end security conferences virtually. You know, like Sands Fire and stuff like that. And it's like, wait, are you guys still charging thousands of dollars for a ticket to Black Hat if it's going to be all in online? Because that's not cool. It's not the same experience.
Well, a security conference, fine, charge and do that online. I want my pre-med students dealing with dead people before they start dealing with live people. And you can't deal with dead people over the internet. You need to get in waist deep in that corpse and figure out where all the pieces belong before you start turning live people into dead people because you weren't fucking properly trained.
They feel like they're getting the raw end of the deal and are demanding that their colleges be held to account. We're paying for other services that the campus offers that aren't digitized, said Drumli Saha. I butchered that name. Drumilshah. So I did not intend to butcher that name. I just, you know, wasn't expecting it. Who is doing a master's degree in public health at George Washington University. Well, I mean, you know, if everybody wanted to do online classes as opposed to, you know, it's like, you know, it saved some money and did the, what's the one, Arizona Online or something like that, the one that's always advertised in the online classes.
Yeah, there's a few of them.
Or do the free ones. I'm forgetting the name of it now, but there's a couple of online free ones, just classes and shit like that.
Like Khan University for your math?
Khan is the one I was trying to think of, actually, yes.
The problem with that is they're not accredited.
Well, doing these classes over Zoom is probably not much better.
Oh, no, as far as quality, no, and Khan actually is pretty good about teaching math. There are actual elementary schools and middle schools that use Khan University for math classes. So you're not going to get a college credit learning what you would learn in a college course.
Yep. The 24-year-old relied in part on loans to pay for his 2-year program in the U.S. Capitol. In a few days, he will earn his diploma, but there will be no traditional graduation. Saha has signed one of several petitions demanding some kind of reimbursement from the school. I think the quality of the service has decreased. No shit. Saha, native of Chicago, told AFP. He complains that the shift to distance learning due to stay-at-home orders in effect in Washington to curb the spread of the deadly virus, well, it is kind of deadly, it has killed people, has resulted in a loss of structure and supervision. It sets up the person... Okay, if you're about done with your degree, you probably don't need supervision. Structure's still helpful, but yeah, you shouldn't. It's like, because if you're about done with your degree, that means you're about to go into your job. And I don't know about you guys, but when somebody starts micromanaging me, I start looking for a new job. Because it's like, oh, fuck, no, we're not dealing with this.
Well, I don't know about you, man, but I haven't needed supervision since I was 16. I know legally I can't autonomously work myself till I'm 18, but I do not need supervision.
Well, I don't know.
Or structure. I can get out of bed, fucking shower myself, make my breakfast, and go to fucking work all without having supervision. Grow the fuck up, you little puss.
I don't know. It could be argued that I need supervision now, but I don't have it, so it doesn't really matter now, does it?
So you need someone to look after you. Tell you how to live.
You could argue it. Otherwise, you know, I just spend all day building 3D printers. I mean, you know.
And you're not hurting anyone, are you? you're only harming yourself by not going to work.
Well, I managed to burn the crap out of my hand the other day, but other than that.
Yeah, but, dude.
It's a joke, demanding are supervision. You're taking my
no,
joke
I know,
way
but
too far.
This dude is demanding supervision and structure. What a fucking fact.
Well, I mean, there are other really good arguments for this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I thought I was paying for. I was expecting campus services. I was expecting to be able to interact with professors. As Madman said, you know, hands-on interaction with the course material, whether, you know,
yeah.
in the case of medical, that might really be handling, you know, cadavers. And
everything with labs, I know three nursing students and one medical student, like doctors. The way one of their med labs works, all the med students come in and carve up a cadaver. They learn this is how you perform whatever surgery, so they cut open the cadaver however way you're supposed to do it. After they're done cutting open the dead person, the nurses come through and they have to identify all the little pieces parts while it's still in the body and say, is this pieces part still in the right spot? Is this halfway down the body or halfway into the body, whatever, quarter way into the body? Was it moved? What the fuck is it? And don't really learn that online. Pictures don't tell you how deep that vein is supposed to be in the human body.
So we're going to have to fail you. It turns out that half of this cadaver is made up of super glue. So
essentially, they're just playing with a Mr. Potato Head at the end of the day. That's what you're saying.
A former alive Mr. Potato Head, yes.
Yeah.
And with the tests, because you're looking at a body that's been hacked on by somebody that's learning to hack on a body, not all the parts are put in quite right. So the nurses get a little bit of leeway. It's like, I think it's supposed to be here, but it's not showing up here. Are my thoughts correct? And it's a wink and a nod. Yeah, the med student put that part back wrong. Don't worry, he got a B.
Can I just grab his name? I was just making a small list.
Hey,
it's a private list, but a small list.
Hey. What do you call somebody who got a, or somebody who just barely passed med school?
A general practitioner?
Doctor.
do you know what you call somebody that can't get into nursing school?
Orderly?
A veterinarian.
Doctor, if they're told that anesthesiology is easier to get into and pays more. Literally, a family member of mine that was going into nursing while she was taking her tour of campus was informed nurses are required a 4.0 because so many people are going into it. There aren't as many people going in to be anesthesiologists. You can get in with a 3.75.
Well, that's also because anesthesiologists are one of those jobs where when you fuck up, you know, you kill them.
Yep, and they start out at highest paid doctor outside of pharmacists.
Yeah, that's because they're the most likely to be
sued. Their insurance, and their insurance is out the ass. I mean, I'm not knocking anyone who becomes a gas passer, man. That's a fucking noble profession.
Oh, absolutely, and they are required. Yeah.
I'm happy we've progressed past a large hammer, you know. I'm not belittling, you know, even if you're the worst doctor, you're still a doctor.
I'm just envisioning the Monty Python Mr. Gumby skit.
That's it. Even if you're the worst doctor there, I'm still going to use you over me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'd rather the dude who's had a little bit of hands-on training than the guy who's just like, nah, I sort of think I know what I'm doing.
I saw some videos on YouTube. Let me see that scalpel.
Yeah, I've played games like this before.
You ever play Surgeon Simulator? It's about like that.
I'm a trained barber. I took all the classes. I know what bits to cut off.
Yeah, I'd rather
the patient
the
died.
Worst
he looked quite dapper, but he died.
fair enough. I think he should get his money back.
Yeah, I do too. Because I like what Psychro's put in the chat room there, because you could read that a couple of ways. But hands-on interaction with your classmates too.
Oh, just thinking about it, the campus Title IX will be down.
So here we go. It sets up the person going through that experience for failure, he says, admitting he's become drastically unproductive without the accountability of in-person classes. Saha is not alone. Many students have lamented that their quintessential American college experience has been lost. No sunny afternoons on college quads playing frisbee. No classes in high-tech labs. No crazy nights out. Okay, the college is only contracted to provide you the one in the middle there.
Yeah.
You know, you can have crazy nights out and go play frisbee in a park if you want to. That's fine.
Yeah.
But the high-tech labs is actually a legitimate complaint.
Yeah, that's the only one. But getting drunk and having a fumble with the opposite sex or the same sex, depending on whatever you feel like.
Or how drunk you are.
Yeah, that's not up to the edge. That's not up to the university. That's your fucking problem. Molly, it's pretty easy to get drunk.
Yeah.
And play frisbee.
Molly Riddick also signed a petition demanding that her school, New York University, make some kind of gesture to compensate students. No matter how much NYU insists to the contrary, it is simply not possible to provide a full performing arts education via Zoom, she said in a comment on change.org. Some students have taken their grievances to court, and one complaint seen by AFP, Adelaide Dixon, accuses the University of Miami of awarding her a diploma with a diminished value because of the nature of online and pass-fail courses. She has sued the school for several million dollars on behalf of about 100 students. At least 50 U.S. colleges and universities have been sued by students on similar grounds. Universities have generally, say what happens in the fall, universities have generally remained mum in public about court action. Well, that's just following the advice of your lawyers.
Some of them, depending on what they're settling on, it's part of the settlement. They can't defend themselves.
Yeah, that's normal to have people not say anything about what's happening in court. Believe me, that is 100% normal, and not, you should not be disparaging them for not talking about what happens in court. Those who have spoken out insist they are caught in a difficult and unprecedented situation sparked by the pandemic. While some have partially reimbursed students for room and board, given that many left campuses in mid-March, none have gone so far as to refund any tuition for the spring semester. Well, of course not. And by the way, the reason the schools aren't refunding that money is partially because they're state-funded, so they're expected to have a certain amount in their coffers at all times based on the time of year, because the state will occasionally reach in and take that money. When I worked at the school, that happened. The state would decide they need more budget, so they would retroactively change the budget, meaning they reached into the school's bank account and took several $500,000 out.
Yeah.
And that's one of the downsides of being a public university. The other thing that comes up is they have a lot of contracted services. You know, whenever you hear about teachers getting a tenure, that's basically a contracted position for as long as they want it, that, you know, they can't fire them. They can't, you know, these legal agreements were never set up with the idea that the entire university would have to shut down. So, like, they have obligations they have to pay legally. So, yeah. The short version is that money was already spent like three semesters ago. And they're not reimbursing you because not only can they not, but that also would really expose the game they've been playing. Which, if anybody ever wants to, you know, get a good understanding of the game the universities are playing, go look at the bookstores. Pay $200 for a brand new textbook. You bring it back in after the end of the semester, and you can get $20 for it on the buyback program, if you're lucky, and usually
that's
they
bullshit.
Won't want them. And half the time, it's a book you will never look at again in your life. And my favorite are the ones where the instructor has put their own textbook together, and you have to buy it from them, and nobody will buy it back, and what you get is a pile of photocopies of shit that they've either pulled offline or photocopied from something else. Those are great. And yes, I used to work at a school. I'm well aware of most of these tricks. It's a fucking joke. But these schools are designed around spending that student loan for you. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the services the schools are providing, especially what they actually pay most of the instructors and the staff, because it ain't much, you know, tuition ought to be like a tenth what it is now. And they've artificially inflated prices all over the place because the entire system is designed around extracting money from student loans, basically.
Yeah.
You are showing up as a potential credit score. They don't care about your future. I mean, you all have individual people at the university who will be trying to help you. They will be doing their best to help you set yourself up for the future to be successful. But the institution does not give a flying fuck if you fail. The institution...
No, they just want your money.
They want your money. And more importantly, they know it's not your money. What they want is the money from either, well, it's the government now. It used to be from Chase and a whole bunch of, you know, other people, you know, Fannie Mae, or not Fannie Mae, I forget the name now. Ginny Mae? Was that the one that did student loans?
Yes.
Yeah. So what they want is, you know, all that money being funneled from student loans.
Ginny Mae does government housing.
Oh, is it? Sallie Mae. Sallie Mae. Yeah,
Sallie
Mae. Yeah. Yeah, so they want that money funneled from Sallie Mae, Chase, Bank of America, whoever else you can get your student loans through. It's all the government now, you know, through you into their coffers on a regular basis, and it all ends up in your name. So the scam is to get you to take out $100,000 over the course of your degree in loans that the school gets out of you, and you get a piece of paper. Well, actually, you get two pieces of paper. The first piece of paper says you went through school and that, you know, you are now, you can call yourself a scientist or a professional or whatever. You have a shot at getting a job. The second piece of paper is all the debt that you owe for going through school. And these things are the institutions, not the individuals. There are individual professors who really do give a shit. There are individual professors who really are trying to teach you their subject matter. They actually care about doing the research. There are individual counselors and guidance people who really do care about helping you make it through. They wouldn't be doing the job if they otherwise, because they don't get paid enough to sit there and give a shit. You know, if they didn't want to do it, they would have found something else. And believe me, having worked both in and out of education, the pay difference is substantial enough that if they didn't want to be there, they probably could have found something making twice as much money somewhere else.
I don't know. You actually got a degree and was doing something that's in demand. How many people majoring in musicology have a degree that's useful outside of a university and can make as much as a professor makes with that much time off?
Well, I don't know about that much time off.
One of the crappier... crappier professors, like the non-tenured. I forget what it's called when you don't have tenure.
Well, it's just you have a job. If it's not tenure, you know, having tenure is something. Non-tenure just means you're there and you can
adjunct,
be fired.
An adjunct professor.
Yeah, okay. But I don't know, man. My salary doubled within a year of leaving university. I'm just straight up, man. I doubled my salary within a year of leaving. Now, admittedly, I moved someplace that was more expensive to live, so it kind of had to happen. But, I don't, as much as I enjoyed some of the work, I don't think I'd go back. That's the one thing, that's the only thing you get doing a job like, you know, working at a school is you do have a lot of time off, you do have a very flexible schedule, and I was doing security research all the time. Because I was able to automate so much of my regular day job that I basically replaced myself with about 10 Python scripts, you know, what they brought me in to actually do, and then got to do basically security research, threat hunting, before we were calling it threat hunting at the time. It was just digging through boxes, looking for issues, you know, building out IDS systems, starting on a, incident management system. And, yeah, other than just not being able to get any money for anything whatsoever, it was cool. But no real future. And now you're right. If I guess if you are, you know, some of these, like an English degree or a music theory degree, it could be difficult to get a position outside of education, but it can be done. Game studios need sound engineers. Video production houses need sound engineers. I mean,
those are also technical fields. Like I was discussing the more useless degree, professor of musicology, a salary $74,191 a year. So, and I chose that one because I actually know somebody that has that degree. And musicology, you can't teach music in a high school or an elementary school or anything like that because it's not a teaching degree. Musicology is a history degree focused on music. I know someone with a bachelor's in this. They went back to become an engineer.
I was going to say, it sounds like they
made a bad choice. Yeah.
But it was a free degree. He could have gotten a free degree in anything, and that's what he chose.
If it's an interest of yours and it's free, fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was an interest, but he should have gotten a useful degree and then just studied music as a hobby. But with that worthless degree, if he would have gone through and gotten the doctorate, which could have done for a little bit more money, could have if he was going with this, it would be $74,191 a year, and you don't have to teach summer courses. It's suggested if you want to get the tenure track, but name a spot in the country where that's a bad living. Now, it's not always a good living, because $74,000 in New York,
California,
you're living about the way an average person would live anywhere else in the country. But that salary where I live... Hell, that salary where you live, Morps, isn't terrible.
No, it's not. But...
And if you get tenureship, that can go up as much as 142, depending on where you are.
Well, okay, fair enough. I mean, you've got a handful of people who managed to make it, but for most of the people I worked with, they were lucky to break 60, dude.
Yeah, and... Are those professors or are those administrators?
Both.
Oh, okay.
But, now granted, the part of the country we were in at the time was, you know, probably on the lower end of the pay scale, even in education. But, I don't know. I just...
And to put it into perspective, median's 52.
In education or in the country?
In the country. Hmm. Now, if you were to get a
In California, that's, you know, living under the bridge rates right now, so.
Yeah. But if you were to get a degree in, and the salaries for professors vary greatly. I learned this talking to the people in the business department. Everyone that taught in the business, I don't want to say the building, because.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. But everyone in that building, they were on the higher end of what a teacher could get paid, because every one of them could quit and go into the private sector making triple digits.
Yeah.
Many of them had retired from the private sector and were just being professors so they wouldn't be bored, and having a $70,000 paycheck for teaching spring and fall semester and taking the summer off isn't bad.
Oh, hell, when I retire, I might go back and teach. I could see myself doing that. It'd be fun. So, it'd be fun just to make people feel stupid all day long, but, you know.
It really depends on what you're teaching. And a lot of the inflated cost of colleges, there's a lot of shit that's dead weight now. Gender studies is a worthless degree, but the professors, thanks to some unions and just the way professorships work, there's a minimum amount that you can pay a professor. So, the worthless professors are still getting that minimum amount for your college.
Not if you cut that course out of your college.
Yeah, well, and that, and like I said, point. You can cut the dead weight and cut a lot of college cost.
But again, going back to my original point, most of these schools are set up to extract the maximum amount of money from you as possible, because that is their business at the end of the day. There are individuals within the system who care and want to help you prepare for the future. The institution does not.
And the reason a lot of these crap courses and crap degrees exist is it is to get individuals that should not go to college through college.
Well, I mean, what we need to bring you back is things like apprenticeships, you know, work study. Yep. I mean, right now what's happened is the business world in the past, what would you say, 30 years, 40 years, has pretty much imbued in everyone's brain the idea that college is a requirement, and if you don't get a degree, you're going to be asking, would you like fries with that for the rest of your life? I happen to know that's not true because I know several people in my industry who don't have degrees, and they're doing okay. They're not moving up the scale like, you know, I have a degree. You know, we can argue about the utility of that degree, especially with where it's from. But, well, I mean, I've told you guys how I've done it work, so.
Well, depending on the business, a lot of the stuff people used to do, you just went into your employer and they trained you.
Yep.
Well, you go with like a certified public accountant, started out as a bookkeeper, crunching numbers, and then they just trained you up to be an actual accountant. A lot of CPAs, it's not going to be that way anymore because we're already at the area where they're retiring or dying. But there are places you can go in and talk to a CPA that is doing a job that now almost by law you're required to be licensed. Well, you're required to be licensed, but almost any place would require you to have at least a bachelor's.
Mm-hmm.
They have a high school education. They were grandfathered in when it came to the license simply because they've been doing it. They're like 60 and they're.
Oh, my dad had a 2-year degree and he did very well for himself. But, you know, most places, and I've been in these interviews because I've been on both sides of the table. I've been on the other side of the table interviewing people more times than I have interviewed for jobs now, which when I sat down the other day and figured that out, it's like, oh, man, I don't know if that means anything or not. It's interesting. But, yeah, I have interviewed more people for jobs than I have interviewed for jobs myself at this point. And, yeah, if they don't have the right pieces of paper, they don't even make it past HR. Like, I never see them. So, which is actually a shame because, again, I've got a degree in information security, but no, I don't. Nothing from that degree is relevant today. Nothing. Maybe some of the concepts. Maybe. But again, I still end up having to teach quite a lot in my day job because we're bringing in basically former sysadmins who want to learn security because getting the training, you know, the traditional way is so damned expensive, nobody's doing it. So, but yeah, like the gender studies degrees and things like that, I would argue that they probably don't need to exist from a pure business standpoint. Now, if somebody wants to maintain them as some form of an art or philosophy degree, and you've got people who are willing to pay for it, that's great. But I really wish somebody would slap a warning on, like the one you were talking about, Madman, with that musicology degree. Somebody should slap a warning on that thing that you know, this might be a great artistic or philosophical degree for you, but you're probably not going to have a job if you take this.
I don't know, man. I saw the absolute opposite 20 years ago.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. So, carpenter. His son did 6 years university for hydrology and I forget something else. It was all like geology studies. And there was only 3 people in the course at the time. And after the 6 years, he was left with nothing. Then ended up having to do an apprenticeship as a carpenter in his late 20s. So that stung. Being a first-year apprentice around 26 years old. He finished his apprenticeship, became a carpenter, and then the mining boom hit, and he was one of 3 people in the country who could actually do the work. So I think his starting salary was a couple of million.
Well, it sounds like he studied an actual scientific degree and just happened to pick a field
dude.
That just, you know, he kind was of clever rolled as the far. Dice there.
But there was no mining going on at the time in this country.
Right.
And he didn't want to relocate.
Yeah, he was like, no, I'm not going, you know, to Southeast Asia or anything like that. So I went to the Carpenter's Apprenticeship. I mean, people gave him shit from fucking sun up to sundown about what a fucking failure he was.
But, I know a geologist. I used to work retail with him before he had his degree. But to stick around here, he would either have to do government work, which he said was crap. You were doing environmental surveys and just trudging through shit. Or go work in a coal mine, which was also shit. He went out west and is doing particulate gold mining. That's, he spends his day in an air-conditioned office. Somebody delivers dirt. He runs it through a spectrometer, does some other shit to it, and says, is there enough gold in this dirt to bother digging it up?
Well played, sir.
Well, I mean, anyway, I can look at myself as an example on that one. It's pretty simple. If I had stayed in my hometown, I wouldn't have a job. I don't know what I'd be doing. Probably just day labor somewhere or something.
As far as jobs that need a degree and don't need a degree, I wish we had one other person on here because he's a great example.
Oh,
I know two people that have gone through a job where they're pretty much doing medical software design for two different companies. They both once worked at the same company. One company would hire anybody. Like, high school degree, you get in. You might start out on a low rung doing phone tech support for random shit, but you could work your way up, and he's making decent money now. Another person doing the exact same thing was able to go to another company 70 miles away. That company would only hire people with a bachelor's degree, but they started out $3 more an hour. Two people doing the exact same job. One company requires a bachelor's degree, the other one a high school education.
Yeah.
And the individual with just the high school education has moved past the individual with the college degree when it comes to career positioning, and I believe. But they're doing you're going through the exact same field.
But any way you cut it, man, it comes down to yourself and how much drive and willingness and actually being able to uproot and move, not being locked to a location.
Willingness to move helps. Yep. But a lot of the companies just artificially requiring a degree. Don't get me wrong, there's some things you need a degree for. If you're building a bridge, you need to know how the fuck materials work. You need to know how to throw that shit together so it doesn't fall apart.
Well, that also comes from the inflated self-worth of a lot of these companies, right? It's like, oh, no, we need somebody with 20 years of Docker experience. Docker came out in 2016. Nobody has 20 years of Docker experience. But, that doesn't stop them from putting it in the damn job rack.
If you're working in a mortgage company, if you're not retarded, you don't need it.
Well,
maybe it's just because I'm not retarded, but I think almost anyone can do.
But again, you still need somebody to show you how to do it. And most companies aren't willing to train people anymore either. That's the other problem.
I don't know. I don't know of a class that taught what I'm doing.
Well, there's not one. So they still have to train you. But no companies are willing to accept somebody who doesn't have some piece of paper saying that I can be trained.
That's what a high school education was supposed to say. I can learn something. Get me wrong. Knowing some basic computing like Excel and shit, that would be very useful in most jobs.
Well, you and I both know anymore in the United States, a high school education means you manage to survive 4 years in government-mandated school without dying in a car accident, drinking yourself to death, or knocking up some chick and having to, go abandon life.
Or being terribly addicted to opioids.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Were we the last generation that actually had some decent teaching?
Managed to be in an inner-city high school.
In our state, our class was the first one they were doing all the self-esteem bullshit on.
Oh, yeah. They were also the first class to be educated by the Department of Education.
Yep, that's why we had all those stupid requirements and weird-ass tests and shit that they did every year.
Not just on the state level, but on the national level.
Did you have to teach your siblings phonics? Because I did. Because we did phonics, and they didn't. They did the memorization bullshit. And the teacher actually said, we're not allowed to teach phonics anymore, but he went through phonics. Have him teach his sister. And I did. I had to teach my sister phonics because art, they stopped teaching it.
I learned the new way to do math.
Oh, God.
But my nephews were needing help with their homework, and I looked at their homework like, this is stupid as shit. Let me show you how to do this.
Yeah, the real way.
It cut the time in like a third, and they're like, this is so easy. Why don't teachers do this?
Because the teachers can't by law. So,
like, when I was going to school, that's what teachers did. They taught you how to do math. I'm not that old.
Where were we with this article? Let's finish out this article here. University circles, the debate is raging. I hope I'll be able to go back, says 19-year-old Ashwan Narayan, who attends George Washington University. He says school officials promised to give him better guidance in the next 10 days, but admitted I'm preparing mentally not to go back. It is somewhat hard to imagine how campus life could return to anything resembling normal, as if the virus crisis did not happen. Dorms and cafeterias have to be treated like grocery stores right now, with social distancing in effect and plenty of hand sanitizer, says Saha. Pamela Oliver, who the provost and vice president of academic affairs at California State University, Fullerton, told a virtual town hall, "We are assuming that in the fall we will be virtual. But for many schools, offering a virtual future means added pressure from students and their parents, who are often footing the bill, especially given the dire economic situation in the U.S. Many students and families will be earning less and will have less available to spend on post-secondary education," Ted Mitchell, president of the U.S. American Council on Education, said in a letter to Congress. Mitchell predicts that enrollment for the next academic year will drop by 15%, which translates to a revenue loss of $23 billion for the schools. Yeah, I believe that.
I think this is going to end up being a good thing. Most companies will realize they don't need degrees for the jobs they're requiring degrees for, and it will be cheaper and easier to get a job.
I hope so. I hope that's what happens. I'm afraid what's going to happen is you're just going to end up with a bunch of people considered unemployable. And, you know, what are they going to do? Oh, we're going to be YouTube and Twitch streaming stars. Yeah, good luck with that. But, you know, people try it. Although, I guess, you know, the number of cam girls around will probably go way up.
They already have. Cam girls are complaining about it.
Last time I checked on cam girls, they were complaining about the cartoon where somebody was using full body tracking to do...
Weep shit.
Was it WeChat? No, that wasn't it. What was the site? I don't remember the site. OnlyFans or whatever the fuck. But... Anyways.
All that matters is that girl never has to work out because she's a cartoon. And look at all the fetish crap she'll do. Yep, I remember that story.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that we'll see some purging of some of the more useless crap, and people will just, you know, you'll think eventually people will figure out, huh, gee, maybe I should go do something useful so I can get a job. Or maybe I can, you know, self-educate enough to pass some tests and get a certification or two. Although that doesn't mean much. I've interviewed people with lots of Cisco certificates who couldn't work a phone. So, and that's at a time when getting Cisco certs meant you knew what a phone was. So, anyways, doesn't matter. Whatever. Yeah, got me thinking about that. Now I'm trying to figure out what would have happened if I had, you know, been adamant and not leaving the hometown. Probably be working either in a mine or a factory, and probably making
possibly
a shit ton less money.
Possibly still be doing something in computing. I don't know if it'd be security. I mean, there
it'd be supporting manufacturing plants or one of the food processing plants in the area. You're right, it involved computers because, well, I couldn't help it. But, so. Next article up is from abc.net.au. Facebook to pay moderators $80 million for psychological damages. That's in Australian dollars, so it'll get translated here. Facebook has agreed to pay U.S. $52 million to content moderators exposed to graphic and disturbing posts and videos on its platforms. In a 2018 lawsuit, third-party contractors for the company said Facebook failed to properly protect them against severe psychological and other injuries. Obviously, I need to drink more. That could result from the repeated exposure to graphic material such as child sexual abuse, beheadings, terrorism, animal cruelty, and other disturbing images. The settlement grants U.S. moderators who are part of the class action lawsuit $1,000 each. That's it. I mean, yeah, the number's impressive in aggregate, but $1,000 each for looking at horrible on the internet? I mean... Fuck, we know people who do that for fun. I mean,
how long did they have to look at the horrible for this $1,000?
Well, I guess it was their day job, so 8 hours a day for a while? I don't know.
Damn it.
It couldn't have been too traumatic if they only got a grand each.
Nah. One downside to group lawsuits like this is the lawyers are the only ones that make money.
Yeah.
Could have black lung and get $1,000. Now, generally, with something like that, it's $1,000 plus medical expenses.
Oh, no, I didn't read far enough. Here we go. But those who have been diagnosed with conditions related to their work will be able to get medical treatment and damages of up to U.S. $50,000, according to the preliminary settlement filed in the Superior Court of California for the County of San Mateo. A more interesting question, why am I reading about this on an Australian news site instead of a United States one?
Because it doesn't have to do with COVID-19.
Yeah.
Or the Orange Man.
In a settlement, Facebook said it was grateful for the people who did this important work to make Facebook a safe environment for everyone. We're committed to providing them additional support through this settlement and the future, the company said. Disposable people, that's what it really is. You know, look at all the horrible so the important people don't have to see it. That's dark.
That's it, man. They're cold as shit. They don't even fuck about you.
That's Gibson-esque, like, cyberpunk shit right there. On one hand, I really like it, and on the other hand, I hate it. I mean,
so, that fucking Roku thing that you watch YouTube with on your TV,
yes.
The wireless thing. Every time I turn YouTube on there, like in the morning while I'm having a coffee, there's a big fucking banner ad for YouTube. I've just been flagging the banner ad as offensive. This morning, I flagged it as offensive and was called an invalid user. So I have to fucking roll the IP on that thing. So you flag it 7 times, you become an invalid user. Because you can't be advertised towards, because everything you're being advertised towards, you're finding offensive.
No, or you're misreading it. It's an invalid user. They're just acknowledging your back issues.
Okay. Well, that's sweet of them. Hang on, how do they know? God damn it.
Google owns YouTube. They know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is moderated by workers around the world, many of whom complain the same trauma is suffered by their U.S. colleagues. What happened to this AI bullshit where humans weren't supposed to have to look at this? Wasn't that the big marketing thing a couple of years ago?
It seems AI can't tell the difference between a cooking channel and someone deep frying a live dog.
Yeah, that seems to be the problem.
There's a lot of the world is very contextual.
I'm just imagining somebody doing a Binging with Babish knockoff, and today we're going to be deep frying this chihuahua.
No, we had to get him pretty stoned, otherwise he wouldn't let us shave him. And as you know, you do not want hair on your deep fried chihuahua.
Number one channel in China.
Oh, that's a good point. How do you differentiate when you have cultural differences like that where they think eating dog or it's not that big of a deal. And you got places in Europe where eating horse is considered not that big
of
a deal.
How dare you? How dare you? All cultures are equal, you pig.
No, we're not.
That is objectively not true. I give you, as an example, I present Papua New Guinea. Now, moving on. Because they still eat people over there.
Yes, they do. And pigs a currency.
Long pig. Anyways, Chris Gray, who moderated content for CPL, a company contracted by Facebook in Ireland, is the lead plaintiff in a personal injury lawsuit against Facebook and CPL lodged in the High Court of Dublin. What about this guy talked to some lawyer who said, you've got a case, and the lawyer's doing all the work, and this dude's just a name? Because he said his work included viewing Islamic State group executions, mass killings, racist posts, and footage of a woman being stoned to death. Fuck.
It's called Tuesday, you fucking gimp.
So where are these? So could you, just so we can put them all in our filters, what website were these posted on? We're curious. I mean, not that I want to sample it and put it up next to the Goose music, but...
Oh, these were on Facebook. He found it on Facebook.
I'm apparently not on the right parts. Actually, I haven't been on Facebook in years, so never mind. I was about to say, I guess I'm not on the right parts of Facebook, but I'm not using Facebook, so I guess I am.
I know the screen hurt me. Show me on your body where the screen hurt you.
Right here, right in the soul.
Dude, I mean, to see beheading videos, you've got to go look for them. You're not just scrolling through Facebook and it's like, assalamu alaikum, fucking blah, blah, blah. Before I behead this guy, a message from Shadow Raid Legends.
What?
Yeah, you're not.
This beheading brought to you by.
Yeah.
In defense of both Shadow Raid Legends and people seeing beheading videos,
the reason you have to look for them
is somebody is watching them and removing them. Because everyone in the Caliph wants you to see that beheading video. The reason you didn't is Bob saw it first, and now he's crying.
Speaking of Bob, he said his symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder emerged over a number of years. I think it just slowly builds up over time, but you don't even realize it's going on. The impact, he told ABC in February. I'm rearing up. I'm getting into arguments with people that are avoidable because I'm just on this hair trigger. I can't deal with stuff. I'm super emotional, super sensitive.
He's seeing the real world for what it is, and people are coming up with these first world problems, and he's losing his shit.
Go open up a DeviantArt account and start Photoshopping Disney cartoons. Come on.
Just realize that
humans are evil.
Yeah.
We are evil, warlike, and left to our own devices, we'll do horrible things.
Yeah.
You have to be taught to be good.
Back to our first story, this is why people need supervision.
Okay, well, by the time you're in college, you should have already been taught to be a good person. That was your parents' job.
Calm down, Madman. I was making a bad joke.
Ahmed is left to right, not up and down.
Oh.
There's a reason you're not rich.
That's a visual joke for you, kids.
You're right about that part, Madman. Yeah, why did my parents have to... Yeah, that's what I would have done if I had stayed in the damn hometown, is I would have gone black hat and been in everybody's fucking bank account and probably ended up in prison. It's like, how do you survive prison? By sticking knives in toothbrush holders up your ass. Oh, right. Glad I didn't.
Yeah, but
you got
a saleable skill.
You'd have been fine. They would have had you fix credit reports.
Exactly.
Not only would you not have been anally raped, they would have asked you, who would you like to be your bitch, sir?
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't get me wrong. You'd have a lifetime in a career of some sort of criminal gang that you could never leave, but you become the clean face of whatever money laundering they wanted done outside.
So,
yeah, so you had a saleable skill, man. You would have been good.
Yeah.
So what were these groups called again? Just in case I wanted to make a phone call. I'm kidding. Okay, we're going.
It's the Aryan Lowriders.
Okay, hang on. Wait a minute.
I'm just trying to think. You're a white guy, so that narrows it down to about three prison gangs you're going to want to join.
He doesn't need to go straight with the gang. Different mobs actually contract with those guys, so you want to figure out which area of the world you're going to want to live in first.
Oh, don't get me wrong, man. You won't need to get tatted up or anything, because they'll want you looking like a clean skin. So... But yeah, you'd be clicked up with one of the white supremacy groups. And you become a money launderer.
Not only that, but mortgage fraud.
Yeah, that too. So yeah, very saleable skill if you'd gone into prison.
Oh, though. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
Just remember, you need to be able to break into one of the big three credit reporting bureaus and just change my FICO score, credit score, to something approaching a 900.
Well, getting into their networks is far is disturbingly easy compared to what you might be thinking. Changing the credit score without getting noticed, that's a little more tricky. But
so, yeah, you're good, man. If you ever get locked up, yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and break in. Let's do this early. Anybody wants to know how to break into any company right now? Here's how you do it.
Yeah, leave a few steps out.
Okay, we'll leave a few steps out. Learn what phishing emails are. Learn how to do Google dorking and profiling on sites like LinkedIn to figure out who works at your target company. Send them phishing emails, preferably targeting people like secretaries, accountants, and clerks, and people who probably know enough about their computer to do their job, but not enough to understand what phishing links are, or cloned websites, or doc magic links, or, you know, some of the more common ones.
I think you make the doc arts sound a little too easy, Morps.
They are!
They're guess not who got You've got to put work in, though, man.
Guess who got an email from Microsoft today about a WebEx meeting?
Why would Microsoft? Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Quick lesson in spotting a scam, people. Microsoft would have you use either Teams or Skype.
No shit, right? No shit.
So if you're going to pretend to be Microsoft, use a Microsoft technology, not a Cisco technology. Just going to say that. However, because I've had meetings with Microsoft and they use Skype anyways, because they own it. But
yeah, but doing all this, man, you've got to be skilled in the art of research. Well, and this doesn't happen overnight.
That'll get you into the network. The hard part is figuring out how to manipulate something inside that network to actually change a credit score and not have somebody immediately realize that an account was popped, change your credit score, and because a couple of things happen there. One, if somebody immediately, you know, like if you immediately go for changing the credit score as soon as you get a hold of some secretary's account, one, they're going to immediately recognize it because that's not the correct pattern of behavior for that user. Two, they're not going to honor that change. They're going to roll it back because they're going to know it was fraud. And three, they're going to start investigating the person whose credit score was changed.
That's why you change a bunch of people.
Yeah, you do. Well, that's what I was getting ready to explain. You change a bunch of people, you do it in subtle ways, and you do it over time. Because you want to slowly either, A, establish a pattern of behavior for that user, make somebody think that, oh, well, maybe that's just part of their job now, or B, figure out what account you should be inside of or what email you should be spoofing to get the change you want to happen. But that's the hard part, right? But again, from a technical standpoint, stupid easy. So
it is if you've been doing it for the last 20 years.
The rest, have I been doing this that long? I mean, I've
clearly been doing it longer than I've been doing it, and what?
I mean, I can claim 10 years of professional experience, but I mean, has it been that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it kind of has. Fuck. Damn it, are you? Call me old.
Oldest one here, man. Done more trips around the big burning bush?
No. Well, okay. Yeah. Anyways, the rest of the article is on with Facebook's response and how they've been misidentifying, you know, the new yellow peril stuff. So, anyways. Next article. This one is from NBCNews.com. Get the link up. Tell you what, we have rabbit-holed hard on this show today.
Yeah, we've already hit an hour.
That's fine. We'll blaze through the rest of it here, especially because what I have in Dojo is not all that strong tonight. So, this one's from NBCNews.com. Twitter employees can now work from home forever, CEO says. Twitter will allow employees to work from home for as long as they want. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey told his employees Tuesday that many of them will be allowed to work from home in perpetuity, even after the coronavirus pandemic ends, according to a company spokesperson. Oh, shit. I just read that straight and forgot to replace it with, like, chopstick or something.
Yeah.
Anyways, opening offices will be our decision, the spokesperson said. When and if our employees come back, will be theirs. In an email first obtained by BuzzFeed News, Dorsey said it was unlikely that Twitter would open its offices before September and that all in-person events would be canceled for the remainder of the year. The company will assess its plans for 2021 events later this year. We were uniquely positioned to respond quickly and allow folks to work from home given our emphasis on decentralization and supporting a distributed workforce capable of working from anywhere, the spokesperson said. The past few months have proven that we can make that work. So if our employees are in a role and situation that enables them to work from home and they want to continue to do so forever, we'll make that happen. If not, our offices will be their warm and welcoming selves with some additional precautions and when we feel safe, it's safe to return. Twitter's new policy comes as businesses across the nation are struggling to adapt to social distancing guidelines and rethinking how they will operate in a post-pandemic world. And then, of course, the rest of this goes on. But Twitter and other companies like that, is it a completely online company? Like, what are they producing? They're producing a website that's essentially a platform, right?
Yeah.
So everything in that company, for the most part, is going to be on a computer in one form or another.
Like, yeah, they don't make anything.
Yeah, I don't know how you have a factory line assembly worker or somebody who, I don't know, plucks feathers off chickens for an assembly line for a food processing plant works from home. But if your job is typing on a keyboard all day anyways, between VPNs, web portals, you know, Citrix, there's no reason that you couldn't work from home if that's what you wanted to do, provided you either were provided equipment or were given some kind of a secure way to access systems from your own equipment and you didn't mind to use your own equipment. I mean, if the only computer you have at home is an iPad, you might have a hard time of it, but most people have a laptop or something kicking around. And if not, of course, you know, a company providing one, which I feel like should be a thing, if nothing else, so that they can ensure the machines are actually secure. But that's a different argument. With a company like Twitter, I don't see how you could argue that anybody actually had to be in a single physical location if they weren't racking and stacking servers, which, let's be real, they're probably not doing. Twitter's probably contracting most of their server space through Amazon. Last time I looked, I think that's what they were doing, is mostly AWS anyways. So what a lot of companies like Slack and, you know, things like that do is they're all through AWS or other cloud hosting. So it's not like anybody's racking and stacking servers anywhere. Amazon is, Microsoft is, DigitalOcean, a handful of other guys who do hosting, they're racking and stacking servers. And again, so somebody physically has to go out and do that because somebody has to put the initial operating system on these boxes, right? Whether it's VMware,
yeah,
or Xen or KVM or whatever. But, or Docker host, you know, somebody's got to throw a Linux on there and install Docker or whatever it is that their platform needs. But, you know, yeah, I mean, if you're in a pure information job, you ought to be able to work from home indefinitely, really. I mean, especially with, you know, as long as you remember to put a shirt on before you hop on your webcam meetings.
I put on pants 3 times this week. I had to work Saturday.
I'm not sure what to do with that information, Madman. Although to be fair, I've got a piece of gaff tape over my webcam, even on my work laptop. So, and they had us playing musical laptops last week, so I turned in a laptop that I had just finished cleaning up, which had just meant, they asked me, why do you have tape over the webcam? It's like, I don't want that thing accidentally getting turned on in a meeting. Well, why? What are you afraid somebody's going to see? Up my nose.
Just say you only get blackmailed once and just walk away. Let them fucking
good.
Think.
Oh, that's you good. Know? I like it.
But most Americans are in a service job these days. I bet a huge percentage of our workforce could be at home.
I mean, I can. I've proven I can. I'm not terribly fond of it because I like the physical separation of when I'm at work, I'm working. When I'm at home, I'm building a 3D printer or doing pure decking or playing Doom. You know,
I'm the same way, but my job can be done from anywhere.
Yeah,
my last three positions with this bank can be done from.
Oh, sure. I've routinely done my job remotely. I can do my job from my cell phone for the most part anymore, and I have. There have been times where all I had with me was my phone. Now, granted, I've got a Samsung phone, so I've docked it up for the better desktop and used that to remote into systems. And actually, Samsung DeX and RDP, it's not a bad way to go to get work done. I mean, it works. It's not perfect, and you only have one screen, which kind of sucks because it, if you know, DeX doesn't have multiple workspaces, which would let you get around the one screen problem, but...
That's one thing I hate working from home. The system I'm using to get into the work machines, it doesn't let me use multiple screens. So all of my work I'm doing from one screen, and I like having a second screen for some of my work shit.
So as a thought, something to try, Madman. I'm not certain what system you guys are using. I know we've had some conversations off show too. See if you can connect more than once on the same computer. Like open another browser tab and connect again.
Okay.
That works surprisingly often. So now each monitor will have its own independent session, but you can still usually copy and paste between them. You won't be able to drag windows from one monitor into another. It's not quite as clean, but it works.
Well, it'll be fine because I'm using different browsers as well. So I'll just have one browser open in one window, another browser open in another window. Because nobody can get all of the online databases and shit that I want to use working on one fucking browser. Not like everyone can work on Google Chrome and everything can work on Firefox and everything can work on... Windows Edge.
It reminds me of back when I worked at the car park company because I had to connect to all these different car manufacturer websites. Like, you know, Ford had a different system from Chrysler, had a different system from Toyota. So not only did I have to have specific versions of Internet Explorer and Java, I had to have multiple specific versions of Internet Explorer and Java. Like, one needed IE7, one needed IE6, one needed first version of Java. I don't even remember what version of Java it was. I think it was one needed Java 1 and the other needed Java 2. And the only reason it wasn't backwards compatible is because somebody put a version check in there. Why in God's green earth would you put a version check for anything except a major version of Java? I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, I have Chrome opened up with 2 tabs and Firefox opened up with like 7.
Sounds about right. Oh, I like Cycros' suggestion in the chat room. Just get you a 70-inch display. It's only one screen, but at least it's huge.
Just run everything windowed.
Next article is from Bleeping Computer. Microsoft will drop support for Windows 10 on 32-bit systems. They're still going to have patches up through like... I think next year at least, but they're basically dropping the 32-bit builds of Windows 10. No new machines, the new hardware guidelines they put out will support a 32-bit build of Windows 10. I don't think it really matters because I haven't seen a new 32-bit-only processor on the market for a long time.
I was going to say, I haven't seen that for ages.
So
I'm just going to have the same complaint I always have. What happened to me owning my software?
Dream on, Madman.
Well, the laws got weird on that, so now that's why everybody's gone to software as a service. So, anyways. Next one up is from ReclaimTheNet.org. The Internet Archive's Wayback Machine is starting to add warning labels to its archives.
Wait, no. Do not go PC. The Wayback Machine never goes PC.
Last month, MIT Technology Review went after the Internet Archive's Wayback Machine, a service that preserves historical versions of web pages that allows users to access archives of these pages when they're deleted. MIT Technology Review complained that these archives were allowing coronavirus misinformation to evade moderators and fact checkers, and that these archived coronavirus articles had better performance than most mainstream news articles.
You're loading faster, and you won't let us put our propaganda here. Oh, I love the internet.
But it's off your own damn website. It's like, no, we deleted it. Yeah, they're showing what it was back in time. The idea is, okay, anybody who's used the Wayback Machine, it's very clear that you are looking at an archived version of the web page from a point in history. It's not like you're...
Because the top left-hand side, it says archive.
Let me go look at this web page from the 1900s. Well, it says here I should be whipping the darkies. I mean, come on.
Looks like I've got to make a web page.
I mean, for fuck's sake, this is like pulling up a book out of a history class and then being confused. Well, I don't understand. Why don't we have the Roman Empire today? I mean, the book says it.
I want to point out that it should be the 1800s, Morps. The Civil War was in 1860.
What did I say?
It's just an excuse to...
1900s.
Okay, you're right. Thank you.
Dude, it's just an excuse to memory hole shit.
Thank you for catching me on the factual problem. I was ranting, but at the same time, oh my God.
Yeah, I know, man. It's like an article I read last week saying that Western libraries need to be culled of old literature.
Oh, good. Let's do some book burnings while we're at it.
Yeah, exactly.
What, we can't read Macbeth now?
Yeah, it's too fucking violent and shit like that.
How in-depth a lot of those old writers are?
We just don't understand it anymore, madman. It's the language of dead old white men. God damn you. And that's pretty much
it. Game over, man. Game over.
That was pretty much their whole argument, that no one wants to read this shit anymore. It's in an old male language, or I don't know. It just drove me nuts. The worst part about it was in a professional magazine for educators.
Now, just a few weeks later, the Wayback Machine has started to add warning labels to some of its archives, while also forcing users to log in to view some of the archived content on the site. The warning labels are bright yellow and appear at the top of some archived pages and tell users when a post was removed for violating a site's content policy.
Warning, this is from the past. Warning, grow a backbone.
Yeah, I mean, okay, shit that's old might not be accurate because we've learned shit between now and then. Come on,
yeah, but it's
man.
Good to see you find out where it went wrong and who was wrong about it.
There's historical value in being able to see what we were saying, especially when you have, you know, some very serious political arguments about, oh, well, we can't go against the WHO. The WHO was wrong a month ago. You're removing our ability to prove that. This is Ministry of Truth level bullshit.
Well, Fauci said millions were going to die. But we got to delete that one. Can't make him look like a bad man. The World Health said it was nothing to worry about?
This is what the Soviet Union did when they tried to enforce their political beliefs onto scientific outcomes, and you got famines.
Yep. You can see it coming, man.
It's what Lenin and Stalin used to do with photographs. People removed.
Because you didn't exist.
What's that? It's a good thing we own guns? What? Anyways.
For now.
I've got guns that are so old they don't have serial numbers on them, and there's no record of me owning them other than, you know, under a pseudonym on the internet. So.
Look, man. Although they are just 22s. If people aren't prosecuted and charged in the next couple of months, I'm walking away. I'm just not going to bother reading.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If people aren't fucking charged and prosecuted, I don't believe in the rule of law anymore. I'm going back to nature's rule. I'm
I don't doubt it, dude, man.
I'm that gutted, man.
Well, I mean,
the law.
Yeah.
The law does not exist in any form.
The law only seeks to serve those in power, which the whole point of the American experiment was to make the law not do that. But here we are. Next article is from Tech Report Republic, and it's kind of along the lines of "No shit, Sherlock." Your actions on Zoom could get you fired. Yeah, I imagine if you're in the middle of a conference call and you start waving your dick around, you know, Jerry.
The problem is you gotta hire me before you can fire me.
Jerry, we're gonna need you to clean out your desk. I work from home. You heard me. Not long ago, while on a company Zoom call, participants heard one of their colleagues berate her live-in boyfriend, which was not only super egregious, but happened several times, said Sean Nugent, director of Internet Advisor. Someone would be speaking, and she would suddenly start fighting with this guy loudly during the meeting, Nugent said. It was just so uncomfortable. The first time she did it, I thought maybe she just forgot her audio was on or something came up right then. But then she did it multiple times, and it was just incredibly disrespectful and unprofessional. Okay, people, any conference calling system, especially in a professional environment, if you are not explicitly speaking to the meeting, mute your fucking microphone.
This bitch was trying to power flex. Look how fucking tough I am talking shit to my boyfriend.
That was the final straw, he said. We had to let her go. I hope at least she got rid of the boyfriend, too. As Zoom and other video calls become the norm in a workforce now largely remote, there's a line between things people do that are inappropriate and things that can get you fired. Many people have heard about the now infamous California commissioner who resigned after throwing his cat during a Zoom meeting. What do you mean throwing his cat? Was it like just getting it down off the desk, or did he like, you know, shot put the thing?
Dude, it wasn't anything. I've seen worse on Twitch Thought fucking streams.
I mean, it's yeah, occasionally you need to chuck the cat onto the couch or something because they're into something. And I don't know about you guys, my cat's stubborn. Like, I get him down off the desk. If I don't make it very clear he's not supposed to be up there, like, physically, he's going to get right back up there and go back to attacking whatever it was he was getting into.
That's pretty much what this guy did. He was like, get down from there, kitty, and, like, pushed him off the desk.
And people lost their shit.
Yeah.
I do believe the farthest Kendall has ever flown was 15 feet. And he, he spun on the y-axis four times.
I disavow.
Landed on the couch looking at me and kind of wondered how he got that far.
It was probably thinking, that was fucking awesome. Do it again.
He wasn't hurt. I petted him a little bit later. He was cool. And he still hopped up on the counter while I was making a sandwich the very next fucking day.
Stubborn.
I don't care if he's on the counter. I don't want him touching my food. I am protective. I'm a fat kid. That is mine.
Well, you paid for it. Until cat gets a job, fucking get out of the food.
Oh, and the next one. And the reporter who broadcasted himself on Good Morning America via a Zoom call wearing no pants.
Wow.
And, of course, there's some things that can't be controlled. For example, in late April, while the chief people officer of a... The chief people officer, there's a title, of a large candy brand was on a Zoom work call. Her dog came into the room and threw up. The CPO was mortified. However, that pales in comparison to other things that are happening on Zoom calls that can get people fired. The CPO, who requested anonymity, said during a recent virtual town hall, her boss was very upset that some people didn't show up dressed as though they were going to a meeting. They were wearing baseball hats and looked like they had just rolled out of bed, she recalled. Again, gaff tape over the webcam.
That's how I go to work now. I roll out of bed, I use the restroom, I brush my teeth, I grab a bowl of cereal, and I sit in front of a computer.
While these may not be offenses worthy of firing, it prompted the CPO's boss to have her write a work-from-home policy. It's good common sense if you're going to get on a call with the executive team that you would get dressed, she said. Other things the policy will mention, no eating and making sure there is nothing inappropriate behind you in a Zoom call, she said. Additionally, even though the lines get blurred sometimes between work and home, she stressed you still have to maintain that level of professional behavior. Okay, if you don't want to see shit behind me and you're going to make me work from home, then you bet damn well better be paying for the green screen.
Dude, green screen and just the most horrific shit you can find on the internet playing in the background.
There's a guy I've been on several calls with now who has a green screen. He has the streaming set up. He claims he doesn't stream because he's not good enough at video games, but he's got the full setup, right? Like the desk mic in it and everything.
And dude, you
he's
can tell.
Like in the middle of calls when he starts arguing with people. Somebody called him the bad guy because he was the one pointing out, you know, like he was right, pointing out some of the technical problems. So he goes, okay, and just changed his background to the tower from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't stream at all.
No.
No. Yeah, you see some, like, fucking dudes and multiple monitors and shit like that, and light up keyboards and flight joysticks and shit. Oh, you don't game, eh?
Well, it's sort of like you know, when they were telling me, oh, you should, it's like, wow, you should do a YouTube channel or something. You know, like after leading a few presentations on calls and shit like that, it's like, wow, you could do a podcast. You sound like you're good at a microphone. Oh, gee, I hadn't really thought about that before. It's like, what are you doing? Not admitting to anything about Galaxy 15 at work.
Exactly.
Because we're not dealing with that shit. Especially because the way their legal and marketing teams are, they would want input on the thing. It's like, what? No. Why? Because you work for us, but I don't represent you on this. There's a reason I'm not using my real name. Anyways. Betty Rodriguez.
They get really mad with the Gadsden flag in the background. Or even better, because that one's just the snake with the don't tread on me. Texas had a better flag when it was part of Mexico, when the Mexican government banned guns. A few Texas forts, they marked where their artillery was by flag saying, here it is, come take it.
Well, you know, just show, nice. Up, just show up with a giant-ass Trump 2020 sign and see what people
do. There you go.
Oh. They couldn't fire me because then I could sue them. They'd have to find a different reason to let me go, but there are purple-haired people at my...
But that gives them the excuse to start trying to find something. And yeah. Usually, especially in an at-will state, they'll find something. It's like, well, I just didn't feel he was meeting the performance we wanted him to meet. You know, we just felt he would do better somewhere else. Wasn't gelling with the team, you know, some non-provable bullshit, right?
Brenda didn't feel safe in the break room anymore.
Who's Brenda? See, you don't even know who she was.
Yeah.
The one with the nice tits or the nice ass, because those were the only two I was paying attention to. And I was wondering, why couldn't they be the same person?
No, Brenda was the purple-haired chick with the poof on her head screaming, you know, Steven Crowder's a horrible person or whatever, I don't know.
Just remember when they ask you to explain yourself, Madman, just say, I'm trans, and you win HR.
Betty Rodriguez, senior workplace analyst at Fit Small Business, said that even though many workplaces have gone digital in the wake of the Great Whoop of China, some of the same standards and protocols must still apply. Sharing derogatory images, disclosing confidential information, or using discriminatory language towards a colleague will still have the same repercussions they would in a physical office setting. Zoom is no exception. Unless you... Okay. I've seen plenty of people mute their phone calmly, proceed to cuss people out, and then unmute.
And the defense, PewDiePie said it, doesn't make it any better, okay?
Oh, I can't get credit card information through Instant Messenger at work. They said it's unsecure.
Well, not only is it unsecure, it's probably being logged. As in, okay, great. Now our chat logs have PII in them and are subject to GLIBA and potentially even PCI review. Great.
They're not customers' information. It's the bank's credit card. I wanted to buy something. It was work-related.
You mean they don't just issue you a card if you need one?
My department has two. And normally, they just hand it over the little divider between desks whenever I need it. But no, they didn't send me home with the information, and I forgot to write it down.
I was going to say, my company issued me a card, and I'm just expected to justify any expense on it. And the justification reasons are don't look like they're investigated very hard. So it's like, oh, this could so be abused. I'm not gonna, but I so could. You know?
I was totally stressed. I needed that massage.
That one would be a little difficult to justify right now. The weird one is where you see things that's, you know, where it's titled $7.99 all you can eat shrimp and the charge is $40,000. You know?
Tip, 40 grand.
And the last story I have for tonight is one RU sent me earlier in the week. It is from the BBC. Two companies involved in building emergency coronavirus hospitals have been hit by cyber attacks this month. InterServe, which helps build Birmingham's National Health Service Nightingale Hospital, and BAM Construct, which delivered the Yorkshire and Humburgs, have reported the incidents to authorities. Earlier this month, the government warned healthcare groups involved in the response to the virus that they were being targeted by malicious actors. The separate attacks were not linked. But BAM Construction said the significant cyber attack on it forms part of the wave of attacks on public and private organizations supporting the national effort on COVID-19. It was quoted. That's why I didn't replace it with Fu Manchu. Or Flu Manchu. Yeah.
Great sneeze forward.
That's a good one, too. I like communist lung herpes. A spokesman said the company had shut down its website. Oh no! And some other systems as a precaution, but its day-to-day business has remained largely unaffected. Our own precautions have had more an effect on our normal working procedures than the virus itself, he said. And that's the dead giveaway: the virus itself. Okay. A little insight into how most of this malware works. It's not targeted at all. It's put out there with a handful of vulnerabilities that it knows how to exploit. If your systems have those have those vulnerabilities, they don't care if you are the worst evil corp out there or if you are the most wholesome, God-sended, you know, perfect, pure-as-the-wind-driven snow company out there. They're going to hit your systems just the same because it's vulnerable and it can. They're not targeting you because you're part of the, you know, the great sneeze forward response. They're not targeting you because they have some political thing against you. If it's a virus, if it's bullshit phishing attacks that are not specific to your company, if you stop and take a look at it and realize that it's generic and would work for anybody, it's just internet bullshit. It's just people trying to build botnets so that they can download anime or, you know, sell porn or DDoS people and do whatever. It has nothing to do with you as a target. It is simply just an available system on the internet. Now, that said, if you do piss somebody off and they're writing targeted malware, shit gets really interesting really quick. But, you know, it's like the crypto locker stuff that goes around. You know, the whole message pops up on your screen. Oops, your files have been encrypted. Yeah, it's because your machine was vulnerable. It had nothing to do with whether or not you were somebody they wanted to target. And also, it's really easy to blame a computer problem on a malware attack so that you don't have to claim any responsibility, especially if you know you're not going to meet deadlines for some reason or another. Not that I know, not that either of these companies is behind or anything like that, but that I know of, anyways. But still, that's I've heard the whole fake malware attack is a common excuse before. So, Egg Flew Young, that's a good one. I like that one, Cycros. But, do you guys have anything on that before we move on?
Nah, good.
Got two things for you tonight. Both of them are Windows related. The first one is from coretechnologies.com, and it's a little program called the Windows Service Auditor. And what this thing does is you run it on your Windows boxes, and it watches your services to determine what they are and who's messing with them. This is really more useful if you're doing, you know, if you're dealing with like a corporate environment and you've got different things running and people turning them off and things like that. But it literally will let you audit who stopped a Windows service and when it happened. Did somebody delete it? You know, did it get started up? Did the service encounter any errors? Now, this is useful in a corporate environment because a lot of your security software runs as Windows services. The other nice thing, though, is, you know, if you're running this on a home machine, if you ever go in and look, you've probably got 100 or so Windows services running on any normal Windows 10 build anymore, which for me, coming from the, well, hell, the DOS days, I used to know what every program running in the background was and what it did, especially in the 98 and even in the XP days. Nowadays, you look at all this shit running, and it's like, fuck, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, so much of it is running under generic service runner or helper or, you know, system process and shit like that. It's like, great, so I have no clue what's going on. So, if nothing else, it's a way to try to see if something weird came in, malware-wise.
This service wasn't here last weekend. What did I download drunkenly at 4 a.m?
So, you know, again, it's a useful little tool, especially in Windows. And the last one I have, this is actually a commercial product, but they have a pretty good-looking free version. It's not time-crippled or anything like that. It's obviously intended for your IT guys to play with at home, with the idea being that they'll then go in and sell it to the company, you know, like where they work. You know, the idea is here's the free version you can run at home. That way, when you want to use this at work, then you'll go buy the licenses. That's kind of how they're promoting it. It's called WinFlector. And if anybody's ever used something like ZenApp, Citrix ZenApp, this is basically the same thing. You run the server on your workstation, well, ideally a server, but in for what I'm thinking you're going to do with this at home, is you run this on a Windows box, and you pick what applications you want to publish. And then either on another machine, and they've got clients for Windows and Linux, or a web browser. They've got an HTML5 client. So potentially things like tablets and phones. You then connect to your Windows box, and you can get the applications you published and run them, and they look like they're running locally, even though they're actually running on the remote system. So, like, if you've got a tablet and you don't mind to pull it up in the web browser, you can run your Windows programs. I don't think this will work for games. It doesn't look like it was really designed for things that were like 3D accelerated and things like that. But if you're wanting a way to get Windows programs running, you know, from a Windows machine sitting in a closet on your like your Linux box, this is easily a way to do it. And it's free, you know, at least for the two concurrent users thing. And I could see like an iPad or an Android tablet where you bring up the web client and run your Windows programs that way. Something cool, something different, and yeah, thought it was interesting. And I guess we'll just move into closing thoughts. I'm guessing nobody has anything else on that.
Yeah, no, I didn't have anything on that. I'm sorry, man.
That's cool. Madman, closing thoughts.
Oh. One day we'll open up and look back on this and wonder why I was working from home. I'm going through more scotch this way.
Hmm. Are you? Closing thoughts.
I have nothing, man.
Fair enough. So, on a side note, I finally got the stuff in to remake the audio cables because a couple of them have a short in them. And so we've been using the time-honored method of it's sitting at the correct angle, don't touch it, for the mixing setup for decking. But I've got the stuff in to make some new audio cables. So hopefully I'll get some of that done maybe this weekend. I didn't want to do it today because you're trying to redo the audio cables right before doing a show has historically gone poorly.
Yeah, it's never gone well.
When's the print farm going to start your Stormtrooper armor?
I'm hoping to have a couple of machines running by the end of the week. I need to move some stuff around, and I've currently got my machine. Several of the machines tore apart as I'm getting the parts shuffled around the way I want them.
Yeah, I don't want to hex you, man, but just go make sure your insurance policy is up to date on the house.
It is. I checked that the other day.
Good, good, good.
It covers fire, electrical fire.
Yep.
Yep. So, which is, by the way, electrical fire is the most common kind of fire you get with a 3D printer. It's not heat-based or like the plastic catching fire. It's usually something on the control boards going bad, usually a MOSFET. That's actually why I've got several of the machines torn apart, is since I'm wanting to be able to run them very reliably, is I'm making sure to put a bed MOSFET on all of them. Probably overkill, truth be told, but I'm doing it. The sad part is that means I have to open up all of the power supplies and run new power lines for the MOSFET, get into all the main boards, rewire stuff, and I'm discovering wiring that's not long enough and needs to be recrimped and recut and soldered. And so it's just not a fast process, unfortunately. But ideally, by the time I'm done with this, I'm going to have three or four machines that I just trust to run all the time with OctoPi set up on all of them and all that shit, so I can just start throwing jobs out whenever I want and start building whatever I want. So, admittedly, several of my machines have been reliable as is anyways, but, well, now's a good time to do it all, so that's what we're doing. And that's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the show. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday, Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and in the IRC tonight, we had myself, Sardonyx, Alt Reads. I don't recognize that person. Welcome if you're new. That's the bot. Psychros, DP View, and Madman. We already did closing thoughts. Although that could mean something different nowadays. Madman, who's your favorite closing thought? Name and link. And does she have an OnlyFans?
Please report all thoughts to the IRS.
That's all I've got. I'm going to start playing sound effects and close out the show.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
I'm just going to nose down and call it a night.
Now I'm a white guy.
Shut up, Wesley.